So, Dr. Provencial, what are the big questions that you try to answer about white dwarfs, and how does the Hubble answer them?
Well, a white dwarf star is a star that's at the end of its life. It used to be a star like the sun, but it's run out of nuclear fuel, and so it shed all of its outer atmosphere, and all you're left with is just the core of a star. And what we're trying to answer is, how did this star get to where it is now? The sun right now is forming a white dwarf in its center. Right now the sun is taking hydrogen atoms and turning them into helium. And when it gets a little bit older, it's going to take helium and turn it into carbon. And then when it gets to carbon, it can't go any further than that. And at that point, the sun is actually going to form a white dwarf. So we're using the white dwarfs that exist now, and it's kind of like doing forensic astronomy. You know, you're digging around inside the guts of these dead stars, trying to figure out what they ate for lunch. And so that's what we're doing with the white dwarfs. We're trying to figure out exactly how stars like the sun end up there and how long it takes them to get there, and if there's more than one way to form a white dwarf, or if do they all go exactly the same through exactly the same path or not. We don't know, and so that's what we're trying to find out. And the particular white dwarfs that I study are pulsating white dwarfs, which means they're changing their brightness over time. So if you sit there and you watch a white dwarf, which is what I do, I take lots of pictures of them, you can tell that the thing is getting brighter and dimmer and brighter and dimmer over time. And the periods for pulsating white dwarfs is about 10 minutes, so it's kind of fun to watch during the night. But what we do is we look at exactly how the stars are pulsating, and we can use that information to figure out what's going on inside the star. You can think about the idea of a bell. And if you ring a bell, it makes a certain noise. And imagine having a row of bell ringers, and everybody has a bell with a different tone. And the tone comes from the shape of the bell or from the metal that the bell is made of. So stars, in general, do the same thing. How they pulsate, how they ring, depends on what they're made of inside.
Ah, that's really interesting. And how much do you know about what's inside of white dwarfs?
We know more than we used to, which is it's a gratifying thing. But what I've found too is that as my career goes on is that, you know, the more things we find out about the white dwarfs, the more questions. So there's no end to this, which is good because I need a job.
Right. Well, actually, I want to get into the tools that you use to study white dwarfs. And I know back in a couple of years ago, you were able to, you know, book time with the Hubble telescope, which is not an easy appointment to book.
No.
So what did you study during, you know, the time? How long did you have the Hubble telescope for, and, you know, what did you use that time to do?
Well, Hubble runs a little bit differently than a normal telescope. For a normal telescope, you know, they assign you a week. You have this from this date to this date. But with Hubble, what you do is you say, okay, here's my list of target stars that I want to observe. And Hubble gives you telescope time in terms of orbits instead of nights. So I had something like 19 or 20 orbits on the telescope, and they don't give it to you all at once. They give it to you, you know, depending on other people's targets. They try to make a list to use the telescope as efficiently as possible because you don't want it just sitting up there doing nothing.
Right.
So I had observations going on over the last 2 years, you know, every once in a while they would send me observations of a star that was on my target list. And what we were doing was we were using the ultraviolet light, which is a short wavelength light that you cannot see from the ground. And white dwarfs tend to be a little bit warm. And the particular ones I'm looking at are around 20,000 to 30,000 degrees Kelvin. So if you want to compare that to the sun is about 5,000 or 5,500 degrees Kelvin. So they're a little bit warmer than the sun, and most of their energy is radiated in the ultraviolet rather than the visible, like the sun. So we're trying to figure out exactly how hot these stars are. We don't really know. From the ground, you can get a temperature, but you have errors of up to 3,000 degrees. So you really don't know the temperature of these stars. So with Hubble, we were hoping to get errors down around, you know, a couple hundred degrees instead of 3,000.
Yeah, that's a lot to be off by.
Yeah, it's a lot to be off by. If you're off, you know, if your star is 20,000 plus or minus 3,000, you really don't know. So we had a list of six targets that we observed over time, and we have temperatures now for those six, which are good to about 300 or 400 degrees. So we're pretty pleased with the observations that we got.
Right. And what were you able to learn from those targets?
Well, what we're trying to do is we're looking at exactly how the star is processing the energy that's coming through its interior and being radiated at the surface. And how we can see that at the surface is in the pulsations. If you're sitting there and you're watching the star pulsate, it'll get bright and dim and bright and dim. But if it's a star that has energy coming out in a way that's called convection, what happens is the star gets really bright, fast, and it goes down kind of fast. So it has a really high, narrow peak when it gets bright, and then it has a shallow valley. And so what we do, this is with ground-based observations, we measure how fast the thing gets bright and then how long it stays kind of dim. And that gives us an estimate of how the surface layers of the star are processing energy. And what we need to do to really understand that information is to know the temperature of the star. So with Hubble, we go off and measure the energy that the star is putting out at all different wavelengths. And what we try to find is, where is it putting out the most energy? And if you find that maximum wavelength, then you can get a really good temperature for the star. And so that's what we did with our 6 targets. And I actually have a proposal in right now for a few more. So I'm waiting to hear if we get to do some more.
Right. So is it true that white dwarfs are being used to determine the age of galaxies?
Yes, that's a fun thing that you can do. Because a white dwarf, it has no nuclear fusion. It's just sitting there. It's like a big brick out in space. And it's just sitting there cooling off. And so what we've done is we've looked around in the galaxy for the coolest white dwarfs that we could find. And the ones that we found are about 3,000 degrees. So what you can do is you say, okay, here I have my white dwarf. It's 3,000 degrees. We think that when they form, they're like 100,000 degrees. And so how long does it take for the star to cool down from 100,000 degrees to 3,000 degrees? And that turns out to be about 9 or 10 billion years. And so we know if there were cooler white dwarfs than that, we should be able to find them. We have the technology now. We have pretty good astronomy. And they're not there. So that means that there aren't any stars that are older than that. And so that gives us an age of the disk, of the galactic disk for the Milky Way, of about 9 to 10 billion years. So that's kind of a fun thing to do.
Yeah, that's really amazing. So the successor of the Hubble telescope will launch in 2018, the James Webb Telescope.
Yes.
How will that aid your research in white dwarfs?
Oh, unfortunately, it's not going to do much because the James Webb does not look at ultraviolet light, which is kind of a sad thing. It's mostly an infrared telescope. It is exactly an infrared telescope. It's not mostly. It's an infrared telescope, which means it looks at long wavelength light. And it's a bad thing for white dwarfs, but it's a good thing for other types of astronomy, because what they're interested in mostly is looking for the very first stars. They're looking at stuff way out at the edge of the universe. And the best place to look for that is in the infrared light. And so, unfortunately, they're not going to help the white dwarfs very much, but they're going to be great. The web is going to be great for other aspects of astronomy.